Lost Space. This is episode 22. This episode is going to be about Mary Land's case. It was in Michigan. But I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail because I did talk to a private investigator on this case that has been on it pretty much almost since the beginning. But Mary Land's was born September 3rd, 1964, and she went missing March 12th, 2004. And she was last seen at night. She walked away from her apartment, and her fiancé, this is basically his story, that she walked away, they got in an argument, and she never been found since. He's been a very big suspect in this, and you'll learn a little bit more on that of why he is when I talk to a private investigator. But this episode will probably be a two-parter, is my plan, because after finding the private investigator, I talked to another gentleman that knows a lot about this case, so I figured might as well get the private investigator's perspective on it, and then the other gentleman's on it. But I want to thank Jim, the private investigator, for talking to me on this, and it's very interesting case, and hopefully she'll be able to be found, because 14 years is a long time, you know, not to know where your loved one's at. But thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the interview.
Jim Carlin.
Yeah, Jim.
Yep, Bruce, how you doing?
Not too bad. Yeah, just a little busy at work here and there. Yeah, like I said, I just have a podcast I just started doing, and like I said, Mary's case was kind of brought to me, and I've just been trying to research it, and like I said, stumbled upon your name on it.
Sure.
Basically, how did you get involved in her case and stuff?
Well, in 2004, when I heard that she disappeared, I do writing and research on many different things. And the average, what I've heard, was there were 100,000 people a year that came up missing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was quite inflated. And then my research indicated that it really is in the number of 35,000 to 40,000. Many of those people return home, obviously. Some meet with foul play, some just never want to be found again. And we had a lady that perpetrated a hoax down in Branch County at the same time she became missing. And then there was another gentleman in Battle Creek that disappeared, and he actually, his body surfaced in the Kalamazoo River a few months later after Mary's case. Mm-hmm. So I went over and I introduced myself to Mrs. Marshall. She was a little reluctant at first, and, you know, somebody walking up and giving up a card, I can understand. But then about 2 or 3 weeks later, she called me and wanted me to help.
How long have you been a private investigator? For a very long time?
Probably about 14 years.
14 years. I was reading a little bit on her case. They said, like, she was last seen, like, 10:30 that night, and she was walking away from the apartment she stayed in, I guess lived with her fiancé.
That's correct. Supposedly at 10 o'clock, she walked off after an argument. She had light clothes on from work. She was a billing clerk in a doctor's office, so she did wear scrubs. No purse, no phone. And she left her car keys and her car at the apartment.
I know they were saying, like, it was kind of, well, I know it's, this winter's been kind of strange where, you know, sorry, spring and still people's getting snow. I know they said back when she disappeared in March, 12th, 2004, that, you know, with what she was wearing was kind of, was still kind of chill, had a chill and stuff at the night.
Yes, it clearly was not the attire for going out that evening. It was light snow. Mm-hmm. There was snow on the ground, and it was probably 28 to 30 degrees.
I read somewhere that somebody said she might have been intoxicated at the time of her disappearance. Is there any...
Right, that's a story that the boyfriend came up with. When the police went to the convenience store that they traditionally would get things at, mm-hmm. they had gone tanning earlier, an hour or so earlier, there was a fight in the tanning salon, but he claimed that she bought liquor And when they looked at the videotape, in fact, all she did was buy a large pop and some chips.
Okay. Yeah, they're talking. I remember they said that he didn't report her missing until almost to like 44 hours later. And what they said, like, he called her parents and basically asked if, because her parents lived in, what, California or something at the time? Or is getting ready?
Yes, one week earlier. Yes, one week earlier they had moved out there and said that, you know, Mary eventually was going to live with them. Mm-hmm. About 44 hours later on Sunday afternoon, he calls out of the blue and says, oh, by the way, I haven't seen Mary in a while. Is she in California? And, of course, the mom and dad got quite upset. Anita Marshall actually yelled, you know, you killed her.
Mm-hmm. I know they said that her brother was one that actually called it in, that she was missing.
You know, that's a very good, I've never kind of thought of that over the years. I don't know who officially made it. Probably the brother would have to, because he had standing here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Pratt never did. I kind of thought that he did, but
yeah, you'd kind of think,
I don't know.
You'd kind of think he kind of would. But I knew he's always been a suspect in him, you know, in her disappearance, but has there really been a lot of proof to validate why they think he's a suspect, let alone that he was the last person to see her?
Well, you know, in the beginning it was a rough, if you looked at the YouTube and, you know, the early blogs on justiceformary.blogspot. I haven't gone on there in a while, but just with the evidence that I accumulated and obviously would share, there's no doubt in my mind that I knew within months he did it. One of the things that really was the nail in the coffin, which is a bad pun, but the leather jacket that she was wearing in the video, later in the year, in the summer, he was at a flea market in Homer, Michigan. He took all of her belongings, pictures, etc., and clothes. And included in those clothes was the same leather jacket that she was wearing. A family member, Battle Creek is not far from Homer, and people go down to these flea markets in the summer. This family member grabbed the jacket, took it off, and just went right immediately to the police department at Marshall, where it was entered into evidence. And the only other two jackets, I know exactly where they were. So, you know, I study psychology. I'm a counselor. Mm-hmm. My primary work is in substance abuse, but there's no doubt if you look up the 13 criteria for a sociopath, Christopher Pratt fits them all. Lack of empathy, compassion. I mean, in those same characteristics, you know, a year later, he hooks up with a new girlfriend, takes her to a remote area where they're living, and the same stuff goes on and on and on. He eventually is convicted of domestic violence, thanks to my help with that case. And he went to prison for 5.5 years.
I know they were saying, too, I remember reading something on it that, like you said, his next girlfriend, you know, he goes to prison for that. But they were saying something about he might have poisoned two other ones or something with rat poison.
You mean animals?
No, actually, the girls that he was dating.
No, I think that some of the comments about that were that it was alleged, but I never had any proof of that.
Okay, so it wasn't actually proof.
You know,
okay.
No, one of the things that, again, with sociopaths, they kill the animals, the pets, and the family because they feel that time that the lady, or sometimes men, would spend with the animal could be used for them. So they're very, very jealous. But it seems that throughout his entire life, you know, he hasn't had a regard. He claims he's a hunter, but the only hunting he really does is poaching. And many animals in the families of Mary Lands and this other person, the other girlfriend, they disappeared or he accidentally ran over them with the truck.
Okay. I know I was reading, too, that I've kind of seen like a couple different things. Like they said that the dogs were able to track Mary's scent to a nearby motel. And then I've heard it was a couple other places that they tracked her scent to as well after the fact.
Well, that's another thing that, you know, God love the Marshall Police Department. They admit that they made mistakes back in March of 14. There really wasn't a diligent search. Anything that would have been done would have been crisscrossed and not valid. Supposedly, some people that had their own dogs, and I can't state that those were certified, etc., but they claim that they tracked her to a particular motel. I just don't believe any of those stories. I don't think she ever left that house alive at 9:30, 10 o'clock on the 12th.
Yeah, it kind of seems it'd be kind of weird because they, from what I was understanding, like the room that she went to was basically just like somebody rented it, you know, that was just passing through town. So it's just kind of weird that she wouldn't end up. And I guess there's supposedly no indication that she actually was in there or anything, and they couldn't find anything. But I knew...
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I actually went to that hotel, too. It was called the Arbor Motel in Marshall. And I questioned, you know, what sheets were on there. Was the comforter on? They assured me that they definitely even washed the comforters, which a lot of places don't do. But there's actually no sign of Mary ever being in there, and nor did the people know her. They weren't even aware that, you know, that case was ongoing. A lot of people just don't look at the news.
Okay. Yeah, well, like, what would the other places supposedly be that they tracked her? Because if there's three places, then the motel would be one. So what was the other two? Would it be, like, the store or whatever that they, where she bought the stuff at?
Well, again, you're talking about a high-traffic area in a small mall, so... I mean, obviously, when the police did start to gather their thoughts a week later, you know, they did go get the video, but I don't think there was really any tracking other than some people would, you know, come to town and say their dogs can search. And, you know, I'm not going to turn anybody away, especially, you know, who wants to maybe go out in the fields, et cetera.
Yeah.
But there's absolutely no proof she ever left the apartment.
Okay, like, I was reading, too, that there was one of the local cops or something called her cell phone, and something about through the grapevine, it turned out, like, he got in trouble because there was, I guess, cases that he worked on or something that, I guess, had stuff missing out of it, and I'm assuming Mary was one of her case, like, so much was missing out of it. Do you know anything about that?
Not specifically, because I would share with the police department, and after we got back on a better relationship around the second 2.5 year mark, I knew that there were many people, I won't say many, but there were a few that were undesirable in that department. And when the new chief came to town, and the other chief was good, but he relied on a deputy chief to do the investigation. And he actually took a job at another department later. And we received, Marshall received a new police chief by the name of Jim Schwartz, a real heavy background in forensics, came from Adrian, Michigan, was down in Lee County, did a lot of work on those missing people that were found in the swamps down there, just their skeletons. So the department really is highly professional today, and those people that did wrong back in the day for various reasons, they're gone now.
Okay. I know they said like her bank account or her credit cards have never been used since her disappearance. Like, when did they expect foul play to be involved in her disappearance?
That's another good question. I think just as I did in the evolution of my case, they probably came to the same idea. And when that happened, I don't know. They always referred to him more recently, I mean, I want to say 10, 12 years, as a person of interest. We had hoped that he went to prison, that maybe he'd run his mouth and somebody there might, you know, talk. I probably have been to, you know, nearly a dozen prisons in Michigan with people that said they had information, but most of it was hearsay.
Yeah, especially with it being already over 14 years. Yeah, it could be a lot of more hearsay if anybody does talk. Because 14 years, yep. You know, people remember. They might still have the same story, but the story's changed, added on to, taken away, and it's hard to completely understand on that. But I know they, from my understanding, they basically did declare her legally dead quite a few years ago.
Yes, in 2011, Judge Jackanet declared her deceased.
Okay, so... Because I figured, because they probably still monitored her, like the, her bank account and stuff, and such. You're looking at, what, 7 years after she disappeared?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
But how many locations have been searched? Like, I know, you know, when somebody goes missing, like, has anybody, like, came in and reported, you know, I think, you know, she's here, stuff like that, and people actually go out there and search, like we were talking about earlier, like the fields and stuff in that area and the wooded areas. Has any place ever been, like, mentioned through interviewing people?
Well, I know that personally, and of course I turn over that information to the police too, I probably have spoken with nearly 1,000 people. Many of them repeat the same tip over. I mean, just a few weeks ago we heard the same thing. That the Hogs hater, that the Pratts had a hog farm. Well, in the beginning of this, I researched, you know, hogs and how violent they are, you know, would do that. And the Michigan hog environment is nothing like that in Oklahoma and Texas. And the family never had, they had one goat and two hogs. So, I mean, it's just a story that just seems to go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But I know that the places that I searched, it probably been at least 100. And then, of course, we did the digging out on F Drive for a considerable amount of time based on the fact that one of the players that ran with the Pratts had a trailer there, and he did a lot of meth. And, you know, we kind of thought that might be the place. And, of course, that was futile. But the Calhoun County Sheriff really stayed out of this. This was done with the Marshall Police and with the Michigan State Police. So they're not going to tell me where they're going. And they're not going to say who they interviewed. But I have a feeling we've all talked to the same people.
Yeah, I'd say probably a lot of the same people has been talked to. I guess that probably covers most of it. But my last question for you, do you think she will ever... you know, her body ever be found to be, well, it'd be most likely, you know, skeleton remains. Do you think she'll ever be found, though, to have a proper burial ground? Will be given a proper burial
ground?
Well,
we had our 14th anniversary tribute on March 12th, and the mom and dad are very ailing. I would hope that we can bring her home before one or both of them pass. We decided instead of having these tributes each year, one of the local funeral directors in Marshall, Michigan, Craig Kemp, who gave us for several years space at his lovely funeral home. And what we decided is that we're going to have a plot at a local cemetery named Oak Ridge in Marshall. We're going to have a tombstone for Mary. The parents will pick out what they want on it. You know, obviously the date of her birth and the date that she passed according to the law. Mm-hmm. So if we are able to bring her home, she would be able to go into that plot. And coincidentally, if anybody is wanting to donate, you know, I put 17,000 hours in this of my own time, pro bono, probably about $30,000 in miscellaneous expenses, including billboards, travel. But you can go to GoFundMe and look up Mary Denise Lands, and if anybody would like to donate, it appears from the monument people in the cemetery, we only need about $3,000 for that. So I'm hoping we can have this by Mary's birthday in September, and this will be kind of at least some type of closure for mom and dad to be able to go there and say goodbye to her, to laugh, to talk, because I really worry that one of them or both are going to pass before we can bring her home. One good thing that developed when I was in Florida 2 weeks ago. Out of the blue, a person called me who left Michigan, wanted to come back and talk about the Mary Lands case with the police. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm sitting on my phone, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday, and he answered enough of my questions that I knew it was not a lot of baloney. So he agreed he didn't want to fly. He came up with me. He's spoken to authorities. You know, the terrain is still quite frozen here. Mm-hmm. Battle Creek has snow. It got warm for a few days, and now we're going to have another bad week. But cadaver dogs will not work after 14 years. So what they're going to have to do is pinpoint the location and then do ground sonar. But of all the years that I've been doing this now, I really am optimistic that maybe we can bring her home.
Yeah, hopefully. Like, there's a, like, I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of like an amateur and researcher and stuff, but there's a local case that I've been working on for a little over 4 years. I've been like in a communication with a couple of the family members, uh-huh. but I've been talking to the actual, one of the people that was involved in the disappearance, and uh-huh. he helped lead him to a body in South Carolina, and he's tried to lead him to a body, Samantha Burns is her uh-huh. name, but they've been trying to lead, but everything he's given, every place they've searched, they can't find her, and it's been, in September of this year, will be 16 years since she disappeared, and it took them, like 9 years, if I remember correctly, to find the lady they murdered down in South Carolina and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, you see things all the time where, you know, people that went missing and foul play was suspected that, you know, eventually they're found. And I know with it being 14 years for Mary's case, you know, there's people out there that has information for sure, but it's just, eventually, when are they going to open up and talk? And like you said, that person 2 weeks ago mentioned something, so hopefully that can pinpoint more to where you got to go to hopefully bring her home.
I always said, and this gentleman, he had very reluctant to even look online, but somehow he was doing something else, and he stumbled across this in Marshall, Michigan, and he said one of the things that he thought struck him was that I'd been seeing for years that she's within 10 miles of the fountain in Longshill, kind of a town monument, and that at least 6 people know where Mary is today. And it just baffles me why someone would just go to a payphone or Star 67, call the authorities, and just leave that anonymous tip of where she could be found. And we just never, never had that.
Do you think... maybe nobody's actually spoken up, because you said he was in prison for, what, five years?
Right. He's been out for about 4 or 5 now. And it always goes back. You know, the guy's a hickory-billy redneck. He's not very intelligent. Those sociopaths, some are and some are not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are claiming they're afraid of him, his family. You know, in the past, he was involved with some shady deals. But... not really on the radar of law enforcement. And again, that's what those people do. They know how much dope they can move without getting caught, and they know the roads and what to take, etc. So it was surprising that the first time he really got on the radar is when he beat up this other woman. Fortunately, the laws of Michigan, you rip out a phone and interfere with the 911 process, it's a 2-year mandatory felony. He was charged with false imprisonment. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you stop somebody for a minute or a day or a month, it's false imprisonment, and then perform as assault. So he got a good sentence. I went and protested all the time with the parole board to keep him in, and they did keep him into the max.
Okay, but so, like I said, that's where you're talking about. Like, that's kind of what my point was, you know, the whole people being afraid of him and stuff. Because you think maybe, I know in some cases I've seen where somebody that's a suspect of a case will go to prison, and then people might actually be willing to talk. But with him only getting, you know, the 5-year talk, nobody might actually want to come out and say something, because, you know, he's going to get out in a couple of years. I know some of them that I've seen, they'll go to prison, and then while they're in prison, they'll get like a longer sentence, and then that kind of frees people up to say, well, they might be in prison for a long, long time, you know, I could be able to say what I know. Which, do you think people could be maybe afraid of, if they know something, that they could maybe get prison time with them holding this information this long?
No, I don't really think so. I think the police know that this whole thing has been a quandary, and that, you know, if the circumstances were correct, and let's say one of these people was present or shortly thereafter knew where she was placed and just didn't want to talk, you know, they're not going to charge someone with accessory after the fact or anything. It's just that, you know, the culture, I remember when I started this case, that some of them, the family of Mary Lanz, they're from Kentucky. A lot of the people are from Kentucky in this area, and they're all good old boys. And I heard so many people say, we could take Pratt out into the woods, we'll find out where Mary is, and he'll never be seen again. And he, you know, I kind of laughed when I first heard it, but then I heard it several times, and I had to tell people, listen, let the cops do their job. You can't be doing something like that. Two wrongs don't make a right. But that's the mentality. These people, and again, I think we have time against us, because the more it goes on, like you said earlier, people have, you know, their perceptions from 14 years ago were different. The story may be altered. But I truly believe that we're going to bring her home, and I know that at least six people know where she is. It's just getting them to talk.
You think, were the six people, you think he just told where she, where, you know, put her, or do you think they were involved in any way, like, with putting her where she might be at?
I think there's at least three that were present when she went into the ground. And I think the other people, you know, may have been close by or something related to it, because the stories that I've heard, you know, they're too similar. Mm-hmm. I lose you?
You still there?
Yep, I am.
Okay. Yeah, I could, if their stories match, then yeah, there could be definitely, you know, good validation with all that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, would make sense. I know there's, you know, so many variables you kind of got to throw in there, and like I said, hopefully one of them out of the six will eventually say. But has there any been any talk of maybe how she was murdered or anything? And then,
you know, studying domestic violence, you know, becoming a counselor, you know, women won't leave until they want to, and they're on their own and have a safe place to go. All the cops and family in the world don't change that. I did prove, and the family was shocked, that he committed several assaults on her of domestic violence. You know, even at her work, she wore long sleeves rather than the short sleeves. Mm-hmm. Ironically, a family member who worked in a hospital, when she had to go get treated, did not do the mandated reporting, nor did she tell Mr. Marshall, who she knew back then, because had the Marshall's family known he was whipping on her prior to 2004, that would have ended, and she wouldn't have been with the guy. But, you know, domestic violence, just like the second girlfriend, same thing. She called me 3 weeks before he was arrested for the charges that he went to prison on. Mm-hmm. And I met with her. She was so spooked about talking about him and thinking he was outside in the car. And, you know, these women are scared. And until they decide on their own that they can get away clean, that's when they're going to do it. But there's no doubt that, there, in my opinion, I think it was just a fisticuffs. It got out of control. The cops supposedly took from the apartment that they lived at a lot of carpet from the stairs, which presumably would have been blood. I mean, why else would they be tearing up carpet? You can do luminol tests. But why they haven't charged them and just let a jury decide the facts, my thoughts for years have been, prosecutor walks in, takes that jacket in his opening statement and starts talking about that. You know, there's no doubt in my mind he'd be found guilty in a New York minute. But they just have not rolled the dice. And I've heard stories that, well, if we do and he's acquitted, then we find the body, we can't charge him. Well, yeah, duh, no kidding. But give it a chance. Let the justice system work. It's failed the family up to now. Mm-hmm. You know, the cops are doing a good job. It's not going to be a cold case. But charge the guy. They have said, and I have said, they wouldn't care if he got one day in jail and he pled down to a manslaughter because of the assault, and he even got probation, as long as he would bring the police to where her body is. That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm. Which like I was talking about earlier, that the Samantha Burns case here locally for me.
Yeah.
See where they broke out of jail in Kentucky, but the guy I talked to, Chad Fox, he's from West Virginia, where I'm from. Like, he's still got family in that area. But, like I said, where there's no bodies, they got the death penalty for Alice Donovan in South Carolina. And they got the life mm-hmm. sentence for Samantha, which they could have got a death penalty where it was a federal case. But that's what they mm-hmm. were kind of talking about. You know, they got charged basically from them saying, you know, what they done, even though there wasn't at the time of the trial, no bodies were, you know, found.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know it is hard to, you know, convict somebody without a body, so. So I could see kind of like what you're saying, though, about all that. I'm good. So, yeah, I can understand, though, like I said, where you're coming from with, they could still give it a shot and see what, like you said, what the jury decides, but it's
sure.
just how much they want to actually put in involved in it.
And you never know if in fact he was acquitted and they did go that route, you know, that might be the genesis in itself, that would have somebody pull up and say, this is where she is, because he's not going to be subject to anything if she's still in state. There wouldn't be federal charges, you know,
no.
But I don't know. It's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, that's, which hopefully, like I said, when you guys are able to search out in the area and stuff, and hopefully, like I said, something will come out of it. And like I said, I'll look on the GoFundMe thing. I think I shared it on my page, my one page already, but I can do it again to, like I said, help out on that. And you got any last thing you want to say?
No, I just appreciate it. I've talked to several people like yourself over the years, and you do good work. And, you know, I have a motto I learned a long time ago. You don't know what to look for until you find it,
mm-hmm.
and you won't find it till you look. And I mean, till I go to my grave, I'm going to continue pro bono on the Mary Lands case and just hope we can have some success, not for me or anything I want or could get out of it. I just want these people to be able to go to that monument. And even if we don't have them recovered this summer, that they'll be able to go there and, you know, laugh and cry. Another high profile case I worked 3 years ago was Talitha Patrick in Kalamazoo, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another shady deal with who she was with, et cetera. But her body was eventually recovered in La Porte, Indiana. And that family is from Kissimmee. They were living up here at the time in Kalamazoo. So I was really happy that I went to the funeral and got so many people from where she went to school in California were here, and the family, and just such good people. They were both Christian. He was a pastor. And I think one of the nicest things is that they have a monument and a cemetery tombstone that they can go to. It's just around the corner from their Kissimmee home.
Yeah, it's always, you know, the thing. You know, it's rough, you know, losing somebody, especially, you know, in a violent act. But, you know, it's still, I guess you could say, at peace, you know, that you can at least go to, you know, where they're at. You know, you're not, you know, somewhere out and still have no clue where they're at. So it kind of brings
you know,
peace being able to go, like you said, go to a cemetery and be able to interact there and know that, hey, you know, you might be able to feel, just say their spirit or something there. So completely understand.
And they don't, yeah, and they don't have to wait for an anniversary date of her missing anymore. You know, they can go there. It's just around the corner from where they live. And no person that loses, I mean, a lot of people, I lost a girlfriend to a normal illness at 97, and it takes a long, long time, and you never really are at peace. And you're always saying to God, why did this happen to her and the family, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at least they'll be able to go up there any day of the week, any time of the week, and see her, you know. And then if we're able to bring her body home and put her in that plot, it'll be even better. But at least it's some semblance of a closure.
Yeah, yep, completely agree with you. But like I said, I'm going to have to jump off here, though. But I thank you for your time, though. And like I said, I'll share the stuff that from your page and stuff on mine and hopefully get some more attention toward it.
Absolutely. Thank you again for your time. And
right, thank you.
I appreciate everything you do. God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.